Hello, superstar, and welcome to CNN 10, where I tell you the what, letting you decide what to think. I'm Coy Wire, and we begin on the nation's capital, where House lawmakers are quickly moving ahead on legislation that could possibly ban the popular social media app TikTok from the United States. TikTok is used by about 170 million Americans, but this measure is looking to prohibit TikTok from U.S. app stores unless the app is no longer connected to ByteDance, its parent company, which is based in China. Some lawmakers are concerned that TikTok could possibly enable the Chinese government to have too much information about its users, alleging that it's a possible national security threat. On the other side, TikTok denies these claims and believes this legislation is an attack on First Amendment rights. This proposed bill has bipartisan support and is scheduled to be voted by the House quickly. If the bill eventually does make its way to President Biden's desk, the White House says President Biden would sign it. Now, if this proposed bill is put into law, it would allow TikTok about 5 months to cut ties with ByteDance. If ties were not to be cut, this measure would prohibit TikTok to be downloaded on app stores in the U.S. Here's our Manu Raju with more.
The House plowing ahead and trying to take up legislation to essentially ban TikTok if the Chinese firm ByteDance does not sell it. They're trying to force that sale because of concerns that the Chinese government is too close to private information of Americans. They are alleging that the Chinese government is interfering with that information and could exploit it, something that ByteDance has furiously denied. But nevertheless, this has wide bipartisan support, approved by the House Energy and Commerce Committee last week, 50-0. That is something that is rarely seen on Capitol Hill, but that bipartisan support ultimately forcing the House Majority Leader to put this bill on the floor very quickly. Steve Scalise said that he would take up this measure, the full House would, in just a matter of days. That doesn't mean, though, that TikTok isn't trying to kill it. In fact, that's exactly what they are trying to do. That top Republican who chairs the Energy and Commerce Committee told me that she is getting flooded with phone calls over people opposed to their efforts.
Yes, we've been flooded with calls, record amounts of calls. Any member of the Energy and Commerce Committee that voted yesterday has been flooded. The co-sponsors have been flooded. TikTok actually put up a notice where they blocked an individual to actually get on TikTok unless you called your member of Congress and told them, you know, not to vote for this legislation. But that's just an example of how they can manipulate data and influence Americans for their agenda.
But what will happen in the Senate? That is a completely different question altogether here. The senators have some of their own ideas. It could take some time to get through. But if it does become law, President Biden said he will sign it.
Next up, in the Muslim calendar, one of the holiest, most sacred months is the ninth month, or Ramadan. Several Muslim countries announced Monday as the first day of Ramadan, the holy month of fasting, where Muslims may not consume food or drinks from sunrise to sunset. The exact start date of Ramadan changes because it's based on clerics seeing a crescent or new moon, as the Islamic calendar follows the lunar cycle. There were hopes of a possible ceasefire in the Gaza Strip before the start of Ramadan, but both Hamas and Israel could not reach a deal. While the war goes on, there's a humanitarian crisis that continues to grapple the Gaza Strip. The U.S. is teaming up with several other nations by airdropping aid into Gaza, but aid agencies recommend that it would be much more efficient if these supplies were transported on the ground. Our chief international correspondent, Clarissa Ward, is here to give us the why.
From the health ministry inside Gaza, they are now saying that 25 have died as a result of acute malnutrition and dehydration. CNN cannot independently confirm that because international journalists are not allowed into Gaza to report on the ground. But it certainly gels with what we have been hearing from groups like the UN, who have warned that hundreds of thousands of Gazans in the northern part of the enclave are one step away from famine, who have announced, as you mentioned, that 4 out of 5 people do not have, or 4 out of 5 households, I should say specifically, do not have access any longer to clean water. And while these aid drops, show a certain level of intention and goodwill, they, according to aid organizations, are not terribly efficient and effective in terms of the mechanism for actually distributing aid. We heard from one humanitarian worker who said they're a great photo op, but they are terrible in terms of trying to make sure that people on the ground get the aid they need.
10-second trivia. Which of these countries has the largest economy in East Africa? Tanzania, Ethiopia, Kenya, or Rwanda? If you said Kenya, Kenya, put your hands up. The National Treasury of Kenya attributes rapid economic growth and dominance in the region to factors like public investments, policies encouraging smallholder agricultural production, and incentives for private and often foreign industrial investment. Let's head to Kenya now, where the East African country is dealing with a rise in the rhinoceros population. Overcrowding in sanctuaries has caused problems such as rhinos attacking each other and competing for food. It's such a concern that the Kenya Wildlife Service is transporting 21 rhinos to a new location.
It takes nearly a dozen people to get this 5-year-old black rhino up on its feet as the tranquilizer wears off. With the tracker securely glued to her horn, she is ready to move 100 miles away. Kenya has an unusual problem. Rhino populations here are actually going up. So Safia and others at this overcrowded rhino sanctuary in central Kenya are getting a new home. Decades ago, 20,000 eastern black rhinos like this one ran free in Africa. But in just under 20 years, their numbers plummeted to below 400, as poachers hunted them for their precious horns. Now Kenyan rhinos are making a comeback thanks to anti-poaching efforts. But overcrowding in sanctuaries has become a problem for the solitary animal.
When you get to these numbers, when they exceed the current capacity, what happens first is you get territorial fights. So you find males killing each other. There's also the pressure on the food availability for the individuals.
To give them a little more roaming space, 21 rhinos were taken to a brand new sanctuary in Loisaba Conservancy. They are the first rhinos to live on the land in 50 years.
For today's story, getting a 10 out of 10, a video bombing bird doing its best to break up a beat on broadcast TV. CNN's Jeannie Mose has more.
Look at this.
Reporters are supposed to be able to wing it, but this was like something out of The Birds. Okay, maybe not that extreme, but Australian reporter Ursula Hegger was filing a report for 10 News First when she got dive-bombed over and over.
Involving a taxi fare on January the 30th last year in Twickenham, an area southwest of London. Now this allegedly...
Dive bomb 9 times. Her own station called it impeccable journalism. Instead of doing this, Ursula did this.
Just stood there and took it.
At least she didn't get used as a landing strip by, say, a robin or a pet parrot.
One just landed on the umpire.
And Ursula didn't get her earbud plucked like this reporter in Chile.
Hoy en día se puede considerar.
Ironically, he was reporting on a rise in robberies. They did manage to get the earbud back from the parrot. The way Ursula handled the attack was a feather in her cap.
One of the most ridiculous moments of my life.
Could have been worse if she got pecked by a woodpecker.
Talk about foul play and a awkward situation, but that reporter had no egrets, taking the burden in stride, delivering an impeccable report that was like poultry in motion. All right, remember tomorrow's hashtag, Your Word Wednesday, so follow me at Koi Wire on Instagram, Snapchat, and TikTok. Drop your unique vocabulary word in the comment section on my most recent post, and we'll choose a winner to work into tomorrow's show. All right, shout out to the ships at Manitowoc Lincoln High School in Manitowoc, Wisconsin, and as a former wrestler, special shout out to MJ Newman and Amelia Fowler for their performances at States, and MJ for her historic win. Rise up, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow. I'm Koi Wire. We are CNN 10.